Welcome back. We're going to continue our discussion on means reduction, lethal means reduction. Lethal meaning the more harmful way of someone that someone could die by suicide, and lethal means reduction meaning if you've identified someone in crisis, how you can approach getting them to voluntarily store their means. Sam, you want to start off with sharing some information?
Sure. One of the most important things to remind people about is that the Coalition does outreach training to groups in the community all the time. And we would love to be able to offer that training to your church group, your nonprofit group, Rotary, Lions, whatever it might be. Please give Jen a call and set up something. If it's your work environment, your employer, we'll come over and do it, and we can be pretty flexible in the length of time. But one of the things that we pass out in our training are cards that give the list of warnings, the things to look for if you think a person might be suicidal. And it also gives the important numbers, such as 911, the Alaska Care Line, for example, the Bartlett Hospital emergency room number, as well as the Care Line website, both of our websites that I've already mentioned, and StopSuicideAlaska.org is another one that we haven't mentioned so far today. And also just wanted people to know that that it's pretty clear that many of the medical providers now are asking patients annually when they come in about suicide. So we made some real progress in getting the medical community involved. And having, unfortunately, been over at the ER last year, they are asking at the Bartlett Emergency Room as well. So we're beginning to get the word out to the medical community, and they're beginning to work with us on this. And so that means an awful lot, I think, to get the doctors and other medical professionals involved in this. And you know, we have some great information. For example, Jan already mentioned the National Shooting Sports Foundation. That same group did a 35-minute training at their national convention last year in Las Vegas. And the people involved with that, besides the Shooting Association, was the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, which is a group that we get a lot of research and other information from. And also, just so you know that we're not kind of out there by ourselves in this means reduction, there are a number of states that have websites in their states on this issue, including Colorado, New Hampshire, Oregon, and Utah. I know about for sure, and there are probably some others I haven't started doing my research yet. And there are many universities, big-name universities like Dartmouth, Harvard, Mayo Clinic, NAMI New Hampshire, and others out there that have been doing work on this for a number of years now. So we've got quite a bit of body of research and information of what's effective, and our coalition is just in the process of pulling that together to go on our website. So watch for that probably the next month or so.
Wonderful. And Walter?
Well, one of the things I wanted to mention, Jan, is that that there are a lot of volunteer opportunities, you know, with our coalition. It's an open membership. You don't have to have a particular expertise or background. In fact, we feel that the strength of our coalition is we have people involved in so many different sectors of the community, and the more sectors that are involved and people representing those sectors, the stronger our coalition is going to be. So, And I'd just like to mention a couple opportunities for participating and volunteering. One is the means reduction group that we're talking about now. We have a small committee that's, you know, working on those issues, you know, with Jan. And particularly if anyone is a member of what I would call, you know, the gun community, you know, that kind of partnership or involvement would be very important for us right now. What we have learned is that some of the most successful efforts in means reduction around the country have been when there's a strong partnership, you know, between the, quote, gun community and the suicide prevention community, you know, because it's often can be a tense situation. And if it's not understood properly, then people can think that we're about, you know, restricting access to firearms. And it's not that at all. You know, it's just hopefully, you know, removing that access to firearms when there is an imminent crisis and on a temporary basis and on a voluntary basis. So if there's anyone who considers themselves a gun advocate that would like to partner up with us on this issue, we would love to have your involvement. We also have a public awareness and training committee that's very active and meets every month, as does right now the Means Reduction Committee. And then finally, you know, we have a our full coalition meets every month, you know, and on the third Wednesday of the month at 4 o'clock. And do we have a new location? It's at the vocational Clinkett and Hyde Vocation and Rehab Center.
We believe that's where it's
okay.
Going to be. Yes.
Okay. We were meeting at the hospital, but they have 2 years of renovations going on, so we don't have access to that right now. So those are three areas. You know, there's a fourth area, but it's a little bit more sensitive, and that's the one area where I would say it's more of a closed membership. And what that is the area of postvention. And what postvention means is when there is a completed suicide, you know, we have a group of professionals and community members who get together and we communicate about how we can help those that are impacted by that suicide. So family members, employers, you know, fellow workers, friends, and how we can reach out and give them support, you know, in dealing with that, you know, tremendous loss. Because of the sensitivity of that issue and the confidentiality of the information, that is a closed group, but it is another important service that we offer through our coalition.
Wonderful. And I want to remind everyone that Juneau Suicide Prevention Coalition does recognize that to request or to temporarily request the removal of a remains is a tough subject. We understand that. And when it comes to the removal of a firearm, we understand that as well. I'll refer back to the Rocky Mountain veterans who stated that guns can be a decisive topic, especially when it comes to legislation. But the one thing we can all agree about is that we can come together to save lives. So means reduction has been proven to save lives, and that's why we are keeping our focus on the top three means. We know that Alaska is a pro-gun state, mostly, and we know that 62% of the gun owners in Alaska own more than one gun. I think that's pretty much typical in Colorado, where I came from as well. We recognize that firearm access can be a politically charged topic, but Walter, as you stated, the Juneau Suicide Prevention doesn't take a side in legislation. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I mean, I think the term that's used is red flag laws, and again, there are a number of those that are in effect in states around the country, and Alaska had a bill before the legislature. I don't believe that it passed, but it allows, you know, taking firearms away from people who are having a mental health crisis and are suicidal, but not on a voluntary basis, on an involuntary basis. And so we just felt that that would unnecessarily put us in a conflicting, you know, position relative to people who advocate for Second Amendment rights, and we want to honor those rights. And so that's why we're focusing not on red flag laws and involuntarily, you know, giving up access to firearms, but doing it more on a voluntary basis and working with not just the person who's suicidal, but more importantly, with friends, family members, community members who can then intervene, because you are the ones that are going to come in contact with the person who's suicidal rather than us as a coalition. So we want to give you the tools and the information and the education and the training so that you feel comfortable so that that you can intervene when someone you love and someone you care about is contemplating suicide. And so you can make the situation as safe for, as possible for them by removing access to lethal means and pointing them in the direction of the help that they need.
To go back quickly, Sam had mentioned some of the resources that have been used so far to guide this group, and one of them was the Harvard website Means Matters. And in addition to linking to all of the research, and they've done a lot of aggregate pulling studies together, and really looking at all the body of work that's been done over decades around lethal means, they also provide just really straightforward tips. And even if you don't have somebody who can maybe store the gun safely for you, they talk about just locking the guns up and giving the key to someone or putting in a safe deposit box, removing a key component of the weapons, taking the slide out, locking the ammunition up safely, so that even if you as a friend or family member or you as the person in crisis don't have that safe place to relocate the firearms, there are still other ways that you can reduce access to those means, make it a little bit harder so that person in crisis can't immediately access the firearm and just has to take that extra couple minutes where they might second guess or somebody else can intervene. Because that's the other thing, and part of what makes firearms so lethal is that once that trigger's pulled, there's no turning back, and it doesn't matter if someone walks in a couple minutes later. Whereas with some other means, there's a little bit of time between when the person attempts and when it's too late to do anything. And so just trying to increase that time. And but yeah, the Means Matters from Harvard has really good, just straightforward, here's the research and here's concrete things you as a family member, a friend, an individual, a parent can do to decrease those means.
So in essence, means reduction is showing the person that you do care about them, you do care about their safety, that you do want to help them through their crisis, and it's creating the message of hope.
Definitely.
And Jan, let me give people this website, okay? It's www.hsph.harvard.edu/means-matters. And that's a website that we've all been talking about, but It's one of the best websites I've seen in this area, and we have about a 2-page bibliography that our Means Reduction Committee is using now. So we have numerous other websites that we can give you. If someone is really interested, they could get a hold of us, and we'd be glad to give them the 2-page bibliography.
Yeah, and I know that the National Shooting Sports Foundation can be found at nssf.org/safety. That's where you can also get more information.
Right.
Sam, can you tell anyone where you can find information about our coalition?
Yeah, I think I gave us the websites earlier on. And let me, junosuicideprevention.org is our website, and then junomentalhealth.org is the other website that are pretty important that we have all of our information on.
Wonderful. And Walter, can we be found on any social media?
Yes, we can be found on a lot of social media, and so we are on Facebook, and we post pretty much, I think, daily, several posts daily, and also on Instagram. And one of the things that we've been doing recently, and I know that Jan has done this and others, is we call it a sort of social media takeover. And so what happens is for 5 days, you know, somebody who is either, you know, either in their own personal life or through a friendship has, you know, gone through, you know, someone being suicidal or depression and has struggled and got through that in their life, is to kind of share some of their personal story and writing little anecdotes. And so and then we end up posting those through social media, both through Facebook and through Instagram. And the beauty of that is there's nothing that brings a message home more than a personal story. So we've had that done about 5 times now. And I mean, these stories go right to your heart and just show you the importance of the work that we're trying to do.
Wonderful. If anyone's interested in getting training or getting more information, they also can email janr@jys.org, or you can contact us on any of our social media. One of the things we're going to be doing in the upcoming months is providing gun locks to the community. If you would like a gun lock or know someone that would like one, you can contact me again through our social media. We'll make sure we can even deliver it to you. We have some new books to help with individuals who have been in the grieving process. Grieving can be of anything, whether it be a loss of a job, a loss of a pet, a loss of finances. We have some new books that are available. We have some books at the library that can be checked out. April, can you take 1 minute to talk about ACES and how what we teach about? I know there's a lot, but if you could briefly talk about what we try to share with the community. Yeah, with Juno Suicide Prevention.
So maybe explain what ACEs are.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, as a coalition, we really looked into some of the drivers behind suicide in Alaska and why our rates have been so high for so long. And a lot of the data pointed us to ACEs, or adverse childhood experiences, which is kind of most concretely a list of 10 questions of, did you have these experiences under the age of 18, looking at things like exposure to domestic violence, exposure to alcoholism and mental illness, experiencing your own physical or sexual violence, and just having those experiences as a child, we're finding more and more affects how you develop, how your brain develops, and really leads to increased risks later in life, things like depression, suicide attempts, and even physical health conditions, obesity and heart disease, increased rates of smoking and substance misuse. So in addition to that work of how do we, kind of the really immediate, how do we limit means and things, really looking at how do we, one, prevent these adverse experiences for our children, but then also for our adults and our older children who've already experienced them, how do we build that resilience? How do we help them overcome those experiences, build bonds, and and just find those connections within the community, within themselves, to, overcome those experiences and really find hope and meaning going forward.
I think the good news about this, Jan, is that we have we've learned how to take people that are very high risk and help them build up resilience and resistance to suicide. And I know I have a couple of colleagues I know personally who have very high scores, like 10, every one of them, that are extremely successful and happy in their lives now as adults. And they've overcome, you know, all those childhood traumas. But the fact that we put on a conference on ACEs and we've had both of the doctors that did the research on it up here and speak to citizens in Juneau and different groups here in Juneau while they were here. And I'm forever grateful that the coalition was able to get that. And I think it made a big impact. I think it's had an impact on the schools. I think school counselors are aware of that information now. And I think most of the professional counselors in Juneau are aware of that. So I think that at least when those counselors know you have a high ACEs score, they do know how to help you. So there is definitely hope for those people.
There's also been some great work happening in the community with the tribes on generational trauma and historical trauma, and that also ties in with ACEs and the resilience and cultural practices that can help and be a really strong support there to build resilience in community.
And we have therapists available in the schools to speak with students?
Yeah, the teen health centers and all of the schools have counselors on staff who see students on a one-time basis, ongoing basis, and also really work with students to get them set up in the community to really find the best supports for them for what they need.
And do we see any particular means in our school district?
So I think I mentioned a little earlier, for our students, the medications do tend to be the most common mean because it's what's easily accessible to that age. And so just really being aware of that. But nationwide and in any states with high gun ownership, we do always see firearms as a means. And so really for people who have guns in their homes, making sure they are locked up and that your kids don't have easy access to them, or if they do know how to access them, where keys are kept, things like that, that if you are ever concerned, to change those locks, move them, get them out of the house temporarily until that concern passes.
No, another interesting fact is that for males and females, the preferred means for suicide are different. And for males, it's predominantly firearms. For females, I think it's predominantly overdose of medications and or cutting.
So again, a means reduction can be focused more on the individual person.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, Jan, you know, that it's going to be different for every person. And so I think a key to intervening will, you know, knowing the person well enough to know what are the lethal means, and even asking them, you know, what they would use if they decided they were going to try to kill themselves, and focusing on the individualized means, and not just to make an assumption that they're going to try one thing or another, but to know more specifically what they plan to use.
And like Walter mentioned before, 90% of attempters who survive don't go on to die by suicide later. So removing those means once can sometimes be all that it takes to really have that person go on to live a full life.
So again, the one thing that we can agree upon is means reduction can save a life.
Correct.
So some of the things that we have at Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition that's coming up, we have back to school this month. We recognize veterans in the community, and August is our focus of back to school. We're going to be seen on campus at UAS on August 30th. I'm sure, April, you're going to be there to join us, yep, along with other coalition members representing their own organizations. We have a rock climb for survivors that will be coming up during Survivors Month. Mm-hmm. We have an assist training, which is a two-day professional suicide prevention training that we had two members of our coalition attend in Sacramento recently. We have our second year of our Taku Tattoo fundraising event that will be coming up. I believe that's in November as well. We also are going to be having a movie to be shown at the Nickelodeon. This year, I believe, we're going to be focused on the ripple effect with Kevin Hines, who's a survivor of suicide attempt, and his message of hope, and how the moment that he decided his attempt was by jumping off a bridge, and the moment that his foot left that bridge, that he had changed his mind. And so he's really focused on getting people to speak about surviving and how they are, how their lives have changed after surviving, and giving that, again, that message of hope. And we're going to be doing some fundraising. Walter had an excellent idea of creating a package by Juno Suicide Prevention that we could actually donate to different fundraising organization or fundraising activities in the community. And we decided to go with the Wilderness for Wellness, which is going to be a actual bag with our logo on there and a map of trails that you can hike in Juno, reminding everyone to get out, get some air, get some sun, take care of yourself, put yourself first, make sure your mental health and your physical health are both taken care of. They're both as important as anything. Walter, would you like to add anything to that?
No, I was going to ask you if you could maybe elaborate more with public awareness and training. You know, we've set it up so that each month has a theme, and so the activities that they take place, you know, during the month focus on that theme. And so that's the general idea. Jan can probably fill you in more on, I know we did, you know, the veterans was one and back to school, but Jan could probably fill you in on more of some of the other themes.
Yeah, so we just started off our new fiscal year, and we have different activities. We have focuses on each month, February being love, Survivors Month is coming up. So we're going to be posting our work plan on our website. That'll be one of the things that's on our website, along with we've updated our website to have information on psychiatrists, counselors, medical professions in the community that can help you. And part of that question, persuade and refer, when you refer someone in crisis that needs help, you can go to the webpage and actually find someone in the community that can offer that support. So those are some exciting things that are coming up. Today, we want to take the time to thank our producer, Shelley, who's given us this wonderful opportunity to share our message, to create that connectedness and hope in our community. I want to end by reminding everyone again, if you are in crisis, our care line is 877-266-4357. You can also text the crisis text line, 741-741. There is hope in our community. There's support. We're here to let you know that we care. You can reach out to us on any of our social media, or you can email me at janr@jys.org. Remember, if someone is in that crisis, there's six things that you can do to try to keep them safe. One, ask them directly if they are feeling suicidal and if they have a plan. Talk to them about that and take the first step by talking to preventing a suicide. Number two, let them know that you care. Number three, as this conversation has been based, means reduction. Keep the person that is in that crisis away from anything that can cause them harm, or to find out and identify what their means is. Number four, stay with them. This may mean keeping your eyes on them at all times and to help them know that someone cares and that you'll actually walk with them to get a professional involved. Number five, offer a message of hope. Let them know that you will assist them, that you're going to help them to get that help that they're going to need, and that you're there. You're right there by their side. You're the one that's going to offer that assistance. And then, of course, connect them with the help that Juno offers in our community. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us this evening, and thank you again, Shelley.